Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and on today's show, we'll be speaking with Brooke Medina about the pain-capable abortion bill that is moving through Congress again. This bill did not make it through Congress before, but it is on the move again and would protect babies after 20 weeks after they are capable of feeling pain, as we understand it, from abortion. So we definitely want to get into that segment with Brooke. It is a very emotionally charged segment, as it is usually when you talk about something of the caliber of the level of abortion. On both sides of the issue, there are a lot of emotions. But before we get to that, I want to talk about subscribing to the podcast. As you hear me on the show every time, you know I want you to subscribe because it is the easiest way for you to get the show to your system, to your device, to your phone, to your computer, wherever you use, your tablet, however you listen to this show. That is the easiest way for you to get the show to yourself, to your ears. You just subscribe, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, if you're an Apple user, whether it's on Podcast Addict or some other app, if you're on the Android systems like I am, all you do is subscribe and get it automatically to your device. Now, that's how you can hear from us, but we want to hear from you on social media. We want to hear what you think about the show, what you want on the show, and your opinions about the topics we're talking about each week. And to do that, just follow us on Facebook or Twitter at What Matters NC. It is at What Matters NC on Facebook and Twitter, and you can talk to us there. Now, if you want to hear past episodes of the show, you can do that through the apps you listen to the show with, or you can do that on the website at freedomactionnetwork.com. The benefit of going to the website is you can also hear the Free to Brew show and the NC Gun Dad show, the other shows on the network. Of course, What Matters is the flagship show for the Freedom Action Network, but there is more to be heard on the website. Again, that is freedomactionnetwork.com. So without any further ado, we'll get right to our segment with Brooke Medina. Brooke, welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you for having me back.
So today we're talking about the pain-capable abortion bill, right?
Yes. So this is actually called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Act, or H.R. 36. And yes, I want to discuss that a little bit today. There is so much to be grateful for with regard to this act passing the House, and it is on its way to the Senate, and hopefully then on its way to the President's desk and into law.
All right. So first, tell us what the bill is, what it does.
So this bill was specifically designed with the intention of ensuring that abortions after 20 weeks gestation would no longer be allowed, and it's built upon the premise that is data-driven and scientifically proven, that that children at least after 20 weeks and potentially even before that are capable of feeling pain. Therefore, should their mother decide to undergo an abortion, that child will feel pain to the same extent that an adult would.
And not to get into the process of abortion, I mean, I don't think we want to get into that now, but in the way that babies are aborted at 20 weeks, the size of a baby at 20 weeks, I mean, I'm not so far removed from my daughter's, the development of my daughter, yes, through that 40 weeks that I don't remember how she was looking then. That would be a painful process, wouldn't it? It's not a pill at that point. It's not a once and you forget about it type of process. It's a
right. Absolutely. I mean, the child, think about this. There are a number of children that are born around that gestational age or just even a few weeks after that actually survive and are walking around in playgrounds and in schools today because of technology that is in place. They are viable today. And so even if we're looking at the abortion argument from a viability perspective, at 20 weeks or 21 weeks gestation, there is still a chance of viability, at least at 21 weeks. Obviously, there are other moral arguments regarding it at any stage. And for full disclosure, I am a proponent of life from conception on, being defended and protected. But this is definitely a good step in the right direction, this Pain-Capable Unborn Child Act. And there are numerous North Carolina representatives that supported it and signed off on it. And so I applaud them.
Right. And so looking at this issue, and I myself, I personally don't know how you can go through a pregnancy like with your for me with my wife watching her go through it, and for you as a mother mm-hmm. going through it yourself, I don't understand how someone can go through a pregnancy and not come out on the other side knowing that there is life before a birthday. I mean, it's you talk about this 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. I remember going in at 8 weeks or 9 weeks. I think it was 8 weeks, 5 days, and having this thing that I still have on my refrigerator, where this little peanut looking shape is waving an arm. And I'm going, this is a person. This is a baby. This is already has four appendages. This idea that used to be sold about having a, it's just a bundle of clump of cells, a bundle of cells. There's nothing really going on in there, as if this was some like caterpillar breaking down into some primordial soup and then reforming into a butterfly. It is shown to be inaccurate and known to be inaccurate with our modern technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, just even before this technology, it was something that many of us already recognized. Human life exists even before that birth date. Inside the womb, if it's not a human, what is it? Of course it's a human, and we should defend it as such. So I am extremely grateful for the representatives that recognize this and acknowledge this and are taking steps in the right direction to protect innocent human life. But then there's also the flip side, which is those representatives who have chosen not to defend human life, despite all the evidence, despite the reality that these children feel pain in the same way that an adult could. I mean, at the risk of sounding gruesome, but you know, focusing on the reality of this, dismemberment, lethal injection, crushing. These are things that Representative George Butterfield, who is my representative, David Price is my representative, Representative George Butterfield, and Alma Adams. So these are our federal representatives, and they have voted against this bill. And so thankfully their votes didn't count to the extent that they would have hoped, and the bill passed anyways. But I want these people to be held accountable and through elections, and they should be. But let's also remember that we have North Carolina state representatives that are seeking to advance abortion too. So not even a year ago yet, it was this past spring, HB 563 was a bill that was sponsored by Representative Susan Fisher, Carla Cunningham, and Greg Meyer. And this sought to expand abortion past 20 weeks gestation. So past that point that we know scientifically children are capable of experiencing pain, and these representatives in our state legislature were trying to advance abortion. These people, I've already looked them up on the Planned Parenthood Action website. They have great ratings from Planned Parenthood and rave reviews. It's just incredulous. I am incredulous thinking about how they can possibly be okay with advocating the advancement of abortion past even this 20-week mark. You know, there will be a time for us to have an argument regarding when abortion, if ever, is okay. I would posit that it is not. But even at this age that we know there is such a likelihood that a child could actually potentially live outside of the womb with modern medical technology, for these representatives to support abortion past this point in time is abhorrent.
Oh, I definitely agree. I mean, this, we're not arguing over you know, a very, very early stage here. We're talking about a 100% a baby. I mean, if you look at the timeline, the second half or so, basically the majority of the third trimester of pregnancy is pretty much putting on weight. It's pretty much a baby doing the final touches, lungs, and putting on weight.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to ignore the fact that at 20 weeks, there is a baby in there. There is undoubtedly, I mean, we already had those 4D renderings of my daughter's face at that point. They'd already taken these scans and shown my wife and I her face. And to say that she has a face, but someone can go down to Planned Parenthood and kill that baby is in, I don't understand it. You have to bury your head so far in the sand just to get to a point where you can not admit that it's murder.
Right.
And not admit that you're killing a living being.
That's why Planned Parenthood doesn't even support informed consent to these sort of things. So, I mean, they resisted any legislation that would demand an ultrasound be done and offered to the mother prior to an abortion, because they don't want her to see the humanity of the child growing inside of her. And so this is one of those things we as a society cannot afford to be wrong about. This is a life issue. And so to deny the personhood or the access to life that these children deserve, for these legislators to do that is absolutely inexcusable, and they should not be reelected.
Right, and I definitely agree with you there. I mean, it's so against what you would think. Like, you have, so you, this is not to get into a global warming debate or anything, but you say you'll have people who they will scream science denier at anyone who questions global warming, not even outright against it, but will scream these issues. And then this is, you know, studying patterns over such a long time period. But then you have, and you're looking at ice records and melting records and extrapolating information from carbon in the ice and all this stuff, this very complicated stuff. And then on this other side, I can take a machine that's been around for a long time, you know, just doing a quick scan and say, hey, look, 2 arms, 2 legs, 10 fingers, 10 toes. This is your baby. And you can say, that's not a baby. That's not a human. That's not a person. And you say, well, no, you can't say that. You can't look at this image. I can't pull up on my phone, you know, the ultrasounds of my daughter and say, that's not a human. You can't get to that point, but people do it every day. I can't understand how they get to that point, how they can just bury their head down and ignore every fact to get to a point where they can comfortably come to that conclusion and say it's okay to have an abortion. I mean, and above all that, where's the rights of that human? You talk about women's rights, my body, my choice, women's rights. Where is the right of the human? And I've heard the line before, well, what if it's a baby girl? What about her women's rights? But above that, it is a human.
Right. Well, and just to even briefly touch on the whole women's rights argument, that's a false dichotomy that I have to choose as a woman that is born and grown up now between my rights and the rights of my unborn baby. Those are not exclusive of one another, and it's not the, you know, my rights versus my child's rights. It's both of ours. And so to attempt to pit mothers against their own children is horrendous. And for those women who have had abortions, I mean, many, many ladies in our population have. They have been told a lie by people who knew better, but were interested in the monetary benefits that abortions on demand provide. And these ladies are now hurting as a result of it. Sure, there are those that will say they don't regret the abortions that they've had in Hollywood, Lena Dunham and other ladies like that. But the reality is, and I've spoken with ladies that have regretted the abortions they've had, and they live their lives now to get the message out to others to not make the same mistakes that they've made. And so if you know, we could focus on anything just in this segment, it's that, you know, that we need to reach out to these mothers to be supportive of them and help them make the right choice and hold our legislators accountable so that women are no longer victimized and presented with this false dichotomy that they have to choose between their lives and the lives of their children.
Right, definitely. And hopefully this bill will make its way through the Senate and we'll have this go to the president, who's already said, I think, that he supports the
legislation. Yep, mm-hmm, he will. And so, yep, hopefully that day will come very, very soon.
Should be a slam dunk. We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Well, thank you to Brooke, and thank you to you, the listeners, for coming on with us and listening with us about this very emotional topic. And for a lot of people, I think you could hear how it affects Brooke, a mother of of many children. I think four. I don't quote me on that one, but definitely for her, a mother, and me being a father, this is a very, very important, very close topic to our hearts, and I'm sure that the hearts of many, many of our listeners. But again, thank you for listening with us, and we'll catch you again next time.